Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Harvest Community Church podcast. We hope this message today brings you encouragement and inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. If you ever have any questions or you want to learn more about us as a church, you can always check us out at harvesttn.com. Enjoy the message.
Yesterday morning, this was an unusual thing. Yesterday early in the morning, not unusual that I was folding clothes. Well, a little bit unusual that I was folding clothes. Putting laundry away. But I was just kind of doing that. I wasn't really thinking about anything. And I heard clear in my head, hanging by a thread. And I thought, whoa, what did I just hear? Hanging by a thread. I was like, who? And he said, "We'll be there tomorrow," or somebody online, or somebody in our overflow is hanging by a thread. And I thought, I need some more information. I need to know what that means. And he didn't give me any more information. It could be that there's somebody in here that literally feels like I'm just hanging by a thread, or maybe in our online audience. Or maybe somebody's marriage or relationship is just hanging by a thread. Or maybe somebody's faith is just hanging by a thread and you're almost asleep. And so I don't know what that is, and the Holy Spirit chose not to tell me that. But what that does is that lights a fire in me, because I will fight for you today. And I will speak life over you today. Last week I mentioned in the start of a sermon series that we're only ever do one of two things from our hearts that comes out of our mouth. We either speak life or we speak death. And every person listening today, here or at home or somewhere else, you have either been spoken life to or spoken death to, and some of each. And you know what? I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of death being spoken over our lives. And it happens in several different ways. We have an enemy that whispers to us. I call it chatter. Tells us everything negative. Speaks death over us all the time. There's also people in life, in all kinds of positions of authority, families, friends, all kinds of things that speak death over us. I'm not talking about go die. You know, I'm talking about spiritual death. And then there's one other category. I think perhaps it might even be the biggest. And we speak death over ourselves all the time. And I'm tired of that. And I wait for you today to hear life and have life spoken over you today. Now, if you hear my voice come in and out, we are having technical difficulties today. Okay, so just kind of bear with that. We know it. They're working on it, but we're not going to let that be a distraction. Because I'll tell you today, if all the power goes out and we're sitting in the dark, I will proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ today, and you will not have death spoken over you one more second. Because I don't know who's hanging by a thread. Maybe we all are, but we're not going to leave here that way. We're not going to wait. We're not going to spend an hour and say, well, let's just, you know, do our church thing and just have a service, because that's what you're supposed to do on Sunday morning. No, we're going to transform and allow the Lord God Almighty to speak truth over us today, right here, right now. That's what we're going to do today. So pray with me, church. Father God, Your Holy Spirit spoke to me yesterday. And somebody's in trouble. Somebody's ready to give up. Somebody has had way too much death spoken over them, and they have believed it. And it's got them in a place that they don't belong. It's got them in a where they doubt that there's any hope. And I renounce and rebuke that lie in the name of Jesus. And there will only be truth spoken in this place today. Satan, you have no dominion here. You may not speak. You may not be present to all of our people online watching in homes or other places. You may not have dominion or speak. We bind you in the name of Jesus. Get out. And we position ourselves today, Lord, to hear truth, to have truth spoken to us. And we claim that truth in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to do a little recap because I started a sermon series last week that I will, not your regular sermon series that just goes on and on, because Bud, I know you're watching. You are preaching next week. I'm telling you that. I'm not asking you that because I don't have a message for next week. But I will do this series periodically during the summer. He'll take some more time off and he needs to rest up. And so I will do this, piecemeal it together. But it's called The Toolbox. And so last week I started that and I had a little plastic toolbox that I brought in. I brought my tool bag from home and used that for an example. And so I have a toolbox this week, but I got to tell you a little story. So on Friday afternoon, I went out on my front porch, and there was a cardboard box about this big on my front porch, and it was wrapped half in red tissue paper and half in blue tissue paper with no note on it. It wasn't sent in the mail, and I was a little bit scared. I was not sure what it was or who it was for. I was like, this be for some other member of my family? Could somebody have put it in the wrong place? Am I going to open it and a cream pie's going to fling out of it or something? You know, I tend to bring these things on myself. That's not that stretch. But it was not. I will show you what that is. I've got it right over here. Somebody bought me a toolbox. And somebody had it speed delivered from Sunday till Friday to arrive on my front porch. So whoever that happens to be, God bless you. I love it. And I know y'all are like so jealous, like so bad you want this. Just don't say another word. Just don't go there. Don't mess with my happiness and joy over that. But I do have a tool the rest of the time. I have to switch to a handheld. I have it in my back pocket if this goes out totally, but we'll see how far we can go the way it is. But I love imagery, and I love how we think we have a picture of something. And so I talked last week about the mind and the heart, and really the place we're getting to is the heart. And so the toolbox represents the heart. And what I want you to know is the heart is not just emotions and the mind is just thoughts. The heart is the center of who we are. Sure, the emotions are there, but thoughts are there and morals are there and decisions are there and our spirits are there and the Holy Spirit is there. If you are a born-again believer, then the fullness of the Holy Spirit is inside of your heart, the center of who you are. And so I use toolbox to represent that. And so I'm going to read you the main verses that I used last week that I got to this place. And I had been studying a passage of scripture in the book of Matthew. So there we go. If you have your Bibles with you, this is going to be one of those good days where you're like, oh, goody, I get to see if I know where all the books of the Bible are. Because we're going to hop around. But I'll tell you what I did do for you. I put them in sort of order. So we'll be in the Old Testament, and then we'll be in the New Testament. So you're not like, oh my gosh, I'm not sure where that is too much. So, but the recap is from the book of Matthew, and I was studying a passage of Scripture, and this is the key verse. This is chapter 13, verse 52. Therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the house bringing to the storeroom new treasures as well as old. A Okay, so the word that jumped out of all of that to me, because you're like, well, I don't see heart in there at all, is the word storeroom. And that word just jumped to me. I was like, storeroom, and out of your storeroom, you're going to bring new treasures as well as old. What does that mean? And then I immediately thought, that means the heart. Our hearts, our toolboxes go with us everywhere we go, and they're our storehouse. And everything that comes out of them is new things and old things. So everything that's there, and I was like, wow, that's pretty good. And then he led me, the other key verse was in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. And if you're somebody that highlights in your Bible or underlines things, you're going to want to do that with at least a part of this verse, especially the last line. So let me read that. This is Luke 6, verse 45. Still Jesus talking here. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his what? Heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his what? Heart. Yes. And this is the line. If you don't hear anything else, hear this line. Underline this line if you write in your Bibles. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. I like the number 3 an awful lot, so I'm going to say that 2 more times because it's that important. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Listen to that. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So back to the idea of toolbox. Everything that comes out of our mouth is everything that's in our hearts. Oh, that's a game changer right there, isn't it? And so last week I talked about that there are things we have to remove. There are things that don't belong in our hearts, and those need to be removed, and other things that make space, other things need to be added to our hearts. And so I gave you, if you were here, I know online you didn't have this, and but I gave you a little piece of paper that was just to have that be the thing that is, you know, something's in your heart that doesn't belong there. And the idea was to crumple that up and not remove it of your own will, because that's the problem we get in. We think, I do this, and then after I do it, everything should be great, but I can't seem to get rid of it. Our job is to say, I don't want this in my life anymore, this crumpled up piece of paper. Holy Spirit, who's already in the toolbox, here. Our job is to give permission. And so that was sort of the idea of last week. And so now we made some room, and I taught you the process of doing that, and that'll be something for the rest of our lives that we're like, what else? We got to search our hearts. What doesn't belong there? And that same kind of process. But then you make room in your heart because you want to be able to speak life to everybody, right? So there's something in there. And again, for those of you not here, you might want to come because much better prize this week. There was something in your seat. If it's not in your hand, you're probably sitting on it. You should have a little compass. Now they're different colors, so y'all can try if you didn't like your color. And I'm going to do a disclaimer up front. If you take these into the woods with you and then you get lost because they don't work, do not come and hunt me down and blame me for being lost in the woods. These are an image, an example for you to remember. And you may be going, okay, I get it. She's talking about we need direction in our life. That's the thing we need to add in our toolbox. And I sort of mean that, but I'm going to explain exactly what I mean. And I actually, if I could have, I would have given you all a real compass. I have a real one in here. But there are, you know, I answer to the Lord, but also my husband, and if I bought real compasses for everybody, he's okay with the little plastic ones, although I will say, those are better than what you're going to get in a box of Cracker Jacks. Back in the day, how many people were back in the day with me? Yes, back in the day, did they not give good Cracker Jack prizes? I've given up on Cracker Jacks. I only wanted it for the prizes and the peanuts, and you don't get either one anymore. Just saying, you got better than in a box of Cracker Jacks. But a compass, what could that mean? And here's a trend that I see happening in our world. I've seen it for a while now, and it's just gathering steam, and I even see it happening in the church. And it's the idea, it's called subjective truth. Subjective truth. And that just means I have my truth, and you have yours. Whatever you want to be true in your life and whatever you believe is true, that's going to direct your life. And good for you. And so that's the compass of your life. But that would mean that whatever my truth is, and if my truth was opposite from your truth, and we both went in the woods together with our truth detectors, are we both going to be pointing north if we think we are with our own truth? No. So there's lots of people that think, I can just believe whatever I want to, and we do. But then we have to decide, okay, does that mean that there's no absolute truth anymore? And that's the scary trend I see in the church, which is we're more advanced now than in biblical days. Those guys that wrote this stuff, they didn't really know as much as we know now. And so we have better truth. And so we're going to change a lot of things that the Bible says because we're more enlightened now. And we have subjective truth. And so I can believe whatever I want to and make it truth. And I can even teach it. And that's happening. But that's just not the way things are. There is an absolute truth. There has to be one, or we're all walking around the woods going, I don't know how to get out of here. I don't know where to go because I don't know where true north is. But there is a true north. And that's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one true God. The one true God. Yahweh, our God. And what he says is true is true. And that means that if what he says is true, then anything that says the opposite of what he says cannot also be true. Would you agree? Yes. There can be one truth. There is one truth. But we have believed other things. So the thing that needs to go into your toolbox and into my toolbox, which is our heart, is we need absolute truth. Okay? So that's sort of the compass, but I'm going to narrow it down even more and say the absolute truth we need first in the toolbox. This is first after you have a relationship with Jesus. Okay? If you are here or you're online and you do not believe yet in Jesus, or you've not accepted him as your Savior, that's the first thing to go in the toolbox. It's got to be Jesus in a relationship with him and know that you repent of your sins and have new life. But after that, we've got to add things in. And the first one is this compass of truth. But the compass of truth that tells us who we are. Because we have an identity crisis. We have believed things about ourselves, our subjective truth, and we're walking around following them. And we are not being effective in our faith. And we are not going to grow in our faith, and we're not going to do anything within our faith that's effective until we believe the absolute truth about who he says we are. That's a non-starter. Right there, that has to be the first thing that goes in, is the understanding of who God says I am versus who I say I am. So I told you, there's areas where we get whispered to. The enemy tells us who we are, and he points out our mistakes, doesn't he? And we know all of them. We can't get away from you sit here for the next few minutes, which I won't because it'll be like super uncomfortable for all of us to sit here and think about all the stuff you've done in your lifetime and said and thought, and maybe even on the way to church this morning, you're like, don't make me go there. Satan makes us go there all the time. We're like, yeah, you're no good. Look at what you did 20 years ago. Look what you did yesterday. Look at what you thought about this person that you say that you love. Blah. And then we have events from other people. Other people have wounded us, betrayed us, broken our trust, walked away from us, said, I don't love you. I never loved you. I don't like you. You don't belong. Get out. You're not good enough. You're ugly. All of those things. And then we have ourselves telling us those things over and over and over. Your own chatter. Satan, I think, sometimes looks at us and goes, I got nothing. My work is done here. Because I got them so convinced of a lie that they say it to themselves every day, and they are not going to be effective disciples. So they're exactly where I want them. They're almost asleep. Isn't that a great place to be? And today, as I am saying these words to you, I'm spiritually fighting for you because this is a battle. But you don't have to leave here today believing a lie about yourself. Now, I'm not going to tell you what I say about you. I could, and some of you would listen to what I say. But some of you would say, she likes the Red Sox, so I really don't trust her judgment whatsoever. So I'm not going to listen to what she has to say. Or how does she know? She can't climb inside of me and know every thought that I've ever thunk. I'm not going to tell you what I think, although I could and I would love to. Because that's one of the spiritual gifts I have is exhortation, which is encouragement. I want to tell you good things, but that's not going to change anything for you. But I'm going to tell you the truth of what God says. And so this was a really fun week for me to study Scripture, but I'll tell you what. The Bible is full of things that God says about you and me. Full. We could be here for days and days. We're not going to be before anybody, lock those doors back there before anybody bolts. We're not going to be here for days and days, but we could be with all the things in there. But I had to sit and go, Holy Spirit, you got to sift this down. What does that group of people that are going to be in the room, next door, or online, what do they need to hear? And so I have a list of things. We're going to look at some, for you, I am statements that God says, not that I say. I'm just grateful that he's using me for a vessel to be able to speak truth over your lives today. This is going to be important stuff that we do today. But we've got to know, we've got to know where true north is. We're not going to go anywhere. He has us so tied down and broken that we're just like not even going to move. And we aren't going to open our mouths and speak of the gospel of Jesus Christ because we're like, I really don't know a lot. Lie. You even believe that? I'm not good enough to talk about Jesus. I need to go get my life together and then come back. And then guess what? If we all did that, if we all said, I'm going to go get my life together and then I'm going to come back, none of us would come back. Nobody. We wouldn't even be here. Because we don't think we're good enough to do it. And that is a lie that we have got to break wide open, and we're going to do that today. I'm just going to say this and don't mean any offense to the little kids in the room. Explain what I'm saying when I say this to him, but come hell or high water, we are not leaving this place today believing lies about ourselves. Amen. We're not going to do it. Not on my watch. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of death being spoken over all of us. So he had me narrow down a list of truths that I'm going to tell you today. And we're just going to kind of go over those. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, and then after that I'm going to tell you, sort of break down what that means, and I'm going to give you an I am statement. If you're a note taker, you want to write down I am whatever I tell you next. Okay? You got to be proclaiming truth in your life. Because it's so easy for us to go, I'm stupid. We're not even aware anymore. I catch myself doing that. I was like, oh, I'm so stupid. We're so broken down with that. We just think that's normal. Nuh-uh. We're held back. Those are not truth to us. And so we're going to speak truth today. So I'm going to start Old Testament. So we're going to look in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. You don't have to look these up. You can certainly, they will be up on the screen for us today. Okay, but this is going to be, the first one is Isaiah 43, verse 1. These are not things that I made up. They're in my Bible, they're in your Bible. Okay, this is what it says. But now, this is what the who says? The Lord. Not Chris, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have summoned you by name. You are mine. The I am statement that goes with that is I belong. I belong. And see, everybody in here, whether you want to admit it or not, you might be like, I love to be with people. I hate to be with people, or somewhere in the middle. You still want to belong. You still want a place that you can just walk in and people are like, oh, I don't have to pretend. Oh, I don't have to try so hard to get them to like me. Oh, I don't have to be fake just to get them to like me. I just want to walk in somewhere and go, this is my place. These are my people. Guess what? This is your place. These are your people. Because I belong and you belong. Because God says you are mine. And when he says that over your life, there ain't anybody, not Satan, not anybody that can snatch you out of his hand. You belong. I'm not going to tell you that every place you go in life, you're going to get that. I'm not going to tell you that, oh, this is great. When I walk out of here, no one's ever going to be mean to me again and say, I don't want you. But I'm going to tell you this is your truth. You and I belong. We're always going to belong. It's not based on our behavior. It's not based on anything we think. It's not based on anything we do. It's not based on how much we give or we don't give. It's not based on anything except the fact that this is a God who's madly in love with you and me. And he says, I belong. Wow. Wow. Second place I'm going to take you is the Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon, some of you know it as. Before I get into this scripture, I'm just going to tell you, for those of you that are not that familiar with this book of the Bible, it's kind of racy. Now, for some of you, you're being like, I'm spending the afternoon reading Song of Songs today. This is a racy book in the Bible. It is. You might even call it explicit. And you might be like, I used to be like this. Why is this in here? And I hope on the day, this was back in the day at Old Style Church, I hope if I have to read scripture that day, it's not from there, because I might be embarrassed to read some of that stuff. But I've come to this great appreciation of what that book is in the Bible for. And I think it's there for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons is that it is love poetry about a bride and a bride. It's about love. And there are parts in there that is about sexuality. There is an all-out assault on Christian marriage. And by the way, that's the only kind of marriage there is. Marriage was initiated by the one true God. It is what it is. There are civil unions and there's marriage. Marriage is a Christian coming together and covenant. But there's an all-out assault. I spend half of my day counseling couples who are maybe hanging by a thread. This book, if you're like, wow, you know, the romance is gone, or we're not as close as we used to be, go on a date with your spouse somewhere private, not in a restaurant where people are listening to what you're saying, and read Song of Songs together. It's beautiful, and it talks about all the gifts and the beauty and how passionate love should be. And how wonderful it is within the covenant of Christian marriage. And the beauty of sexuality and what that can mean. But there's a deeper place to what that book means too. Because one of the reasons that there's an all-out assault from our enemy on marriage is because it's representative. It's the one thing that represents the relationship between Jesus and his bride, which is the church, which is us. Guys, I know I'm going to get flowery here a little bit, so wrap your minds around, you know, you're like, oh, she's talking about being a bride. I'm not going there. Yes, you are. I'm taking you there. We are the bride, and Jesus is the bridegroom. He's coming for us. He's preparing a place for us. He wants us. He cherishes us, all those things. And there's beautiful words in this book that speak of Jesus' relationship with his bride, which is us. I'm going to read this verse for you, and this may be unfortunately, the hardest one for you to hear, because we don't think of ourselves as beautiful. And guys, yeah, I'm going to call you beautiful, because it has nothing to do with masculinity or being a tough guy or anything else. You need to know. It could be a different word. You could say handsome, but it really isn't so much about outside, but partly. You got to know that you're beautiful and that Jesus calls us all that. Listen to this verse. This is Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 7. Jesus talking to his bride, that's every single one of us. You are altogether beautiful, my darling. There is no flaw in you. You see how hard that is to sit with that? Do you see how the assault is on us and how we assault ourselves? If I could reach in and listen to some of you, what you're saying in your head, not me. Because somewhere in life, someone has made you feel like you're not beautiful. Or the things that from your past have made you feel not beautiful. That's just a lie. So your I am statement there is, I am beautiful. I'm beautiful. Now, you're not going to feel that every day, but your feelings are not what directs you in life. Hear that from me. Your feelings are not what directs you in life. Do you know that your feelings are the most immature part of you? Do not be led by your feelings. That compass is not going to take you anywhere. It's going to take you to icky places. Believe the truth, and the feelings follow. Not, I'm going to go with what I feel. You're beautiful. I'm beautiful. I don't feel that way all the time. I'm like, oh, I was just ugly to everybody I love, and I've thought this in my head, and I was like, want to cut somebody off. Somebody cuts me off in traffic, and it's like, I don't feel beautiful. But here's the truth. Is what I say about me more important than Jesus standing in a shadow of what I say? Or who has more weight in my life? That's the teeter-totter we got to let shift the other way. What God says about you is your true north, is your absolute thing, and he says that you're beautiful and I am beautiful. My feeling, there's no flaw in you. When most of us spend most of the time, all we see is the flaws. How are we ever going to be effective in the kingdom of God? How are we ever going to tell anybody else, you're so beautiful, God loves you so much, when they're looking right through us going, they don't believe it, they're not living like they believe it, why should I believe it? I'm just going to let that one sit right there. We're going to go, I could spend the whole service on every one of these, but I'm not going to. We're going to jump one more time in the Old Testament to my favorite Psalm 139. I give this for homework all the time. Psalm 139, verse 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Do you know that full well? That you're fearfully and wonderfully made? I have to have a sign in my office and I have to look at it every single day that says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Because I can't remember that. There's an assault. Do you know that we are in a war and a battle to get you to not believe that? Because then you are just going to sit on your hands and you're just going to bide your time here and go, well, it'll all be good and I'll believe it when I get to heaven. And that's not how you're meant to live. You're meant to have an extraordinary life. Right here. This doesn't mean you get everything you want. Don't take me to task and make it mean that. But you can have right now in my heart, and this is the I am statement, of course, that goes with that. I am wonderful. Now, let me just say right here that that's very different than another phrase that sounds like it that you will never hear out of your mouth. And if you do, you have the opportunity to smack me. So I definitely have to not say it. This is the line that's sort of like it, but not really like it. How are you? I'm fine. Fakest words I've ever heard, fakest words I've ever spoken. It's just a catch-all. We don't mean that we're fine. We don't want to tell everybody, man, I'm struggling today. I don't feel wonderful. I don't feel beautiful. I don't feel do that. So same as saying, I am wonderful. Saying I am wonderful is making a claim. It's standing right here going, man, I don't feel that, but I'm claiming it is true because my Lord said it about me, and what he says is true, and that's true north, and what I say about me is not true. You may not have anybody that has said you're wonderful all week, all month, all year, any time in your life. It still doesn't mean it's not true. because your Lord has said it since the beginning of time, that you are wonderful. We got to move on to the New Testament. I got some other stuff I got to say. So we're going to switch over. If you go to the book of Colossians, New Testament, preparing to the New Testament, chapter 3, the beginning part of verse 12. Just that first phrase. Colossians chapter 3, the beginning part of verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. I'm just going to stop right there. That's a 3-for-1. That verse right there says three things, three I am statements. First one it says is, I am chosen. Second one says, I am holy. Third one says, I am dearly loved. There's not one person in here, online, anywhere else, or even in the world that isn't longing to know that they're chosen, that they're holy, which is right, that you're redeemed, and that you are dearly loved. These are the truths of what God is saying about us. And I know, I can feel it. In my spirit, I'm battling that for you. I feel this all week long in myself. So I know it's true for you that you're like, believe that so bad. But, there ain't no but. It's the truth. If you don't believe that, I'm just going to hit you again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. I already said chosen, but I'm going to do that again. And these are three more. I am chosen, I am holy, and I am blameless. You're not left behind. You're not the one person that nobody cares about. Everybody else has everything in life and I have nothing. Everybody has love and I have no love. Everybody is accepted and I am not. That's not true. Before the foundation of the world was ever created, every single person that could hear my voice, you were chosen. As if there was nobody else in the world and nothing else to do. I mean, he was busy before the beginning of the world, right? He was busy doing a lot of stuff, and what did he do? I am chosen. But there's all these other people around me that are better able to do everything, and they're smarter than me, and I'm not good enough, and I am chosen. That is truth. I'm going to jump one more in the epistles and go to Galatians chapter. And I know I'm rushing here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Has already done it. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It's already been done. The I am statement that goes with that is I am free. You might not know it, but you are. If you're in a cage or a prison cell, Jesus busted off the lock. There's not even a door on it, but you're facing the back. The only reason you're still in captivity is because you won't drop the chains. You won't let go because you believe a lie. You don't believe any of the things I just said, and so you are in captivity, but that is a lie. He has already done this for freedom. You have been set free. You have been set free. You have been set free. Walk in the truth of who he says you are. And I got one more, just one more. And this one is so hard for me to get to. Don't put that last one up there quite yet. Because this last one, and these are Jesus' words himself. This one isn't true if the other ones aren't true. And I was like, Lord, you want me to say this one? I don't know if I can get the words out of my mouth. But if you don't believe the other ones, you're not going to believe this one. And to believe this one, you have to believe all the others. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14. This is Jesus talking. You are the light of the world. I told you I like threes. You, Jesus talking to you and to me, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. So the I am statement, of course, is I am the light of the world. Do you know why you have to know who you are in Him? What kind of light are we shining? Oh, Jesus is great. Yeah, He died for our sins. But I'm as miserable can be because I'm ugly and nobody wants me. I'm not good enough. What kind of light? You are the light of the world. Would you dare today to be gutsy? I mean, you got to be audacious. To be gutsy enough to go, you know what? I am so sick of having death spoken over me and believing all this crap that's not true about me. I'm jumping in. I'm with you, Jesus. If you say these things about me, I don't feel them, but the feelings will follow. That's what she said. And that's the truth. Would you jump in today and say, I'm going to live of who He says He is. I'm going to read these I am statements and I'm going to believe it. And then I'm going to go out those doors. I be the light of the world. You want to take our city? Harvest Community Church, you want to take our city? Yes. We are the light of the world. The band's going to play and sing. I know this is hard, and some of those to hear may have been harder than others. If you are struggling with that, what I'm telling you is, this is open right here. Come up here by yourself, come up here, drag some people you don't know, drag some people you do know, and say, we just got to pray about this. I promise you, sitting right here, hands of the Lord right here, going, I'll tell you who you are. I'll tell you who you are. Change everything. Let's spend this time being bold, being audacious, and going, only life. I will listen to only life. I will claim what is true for me, and I will be the light of the world.
Thank you for joining us today. If you've enjoyed listening, be sure to hit the subscribe button and rate and review the podcast. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you again next week.